This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. Residents in the city of Christchurch, New Zealand, are planning a major vigil Thursday, although several community-driven memorials have been erected. Meanwhile, the alleged shooter, Australian Britton Tarrant, has reportedly fired his lawyers and plans to represent himself. The self-described fascist and white supremacist has been charged with murder in the deaths of at least 50 people. His family has been speaking out. On Australia's Channel 9, Marie Fitzgerald says she's Tarrant's grandmother, and it's hard to accept that someone in their family would do something like this.
It's only since he travelled overseas, I think, that that boy has changed completely to the boy we knew.
In the U.S., there was reaction to the mention of President Trump and Tarrant's manifesto. On ABC's This Week, former Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson says national leaders have to tone down divisive rhetoric.
Americans do listen to their leaders. And so as we enter this election season, I believe that the voters should demand that a prerequisite for office, for political office, is that our leaders adopt a more civil tone in what they say.
But on Fox News Sunday, acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney says the suspect made clear in his manifesto that he is not a supporter of President Trump's policies.
This was a disturbed individual, an evil person, and to try and tie him to an American politician of either party probably ignores some of the deeper difficulties that this sort of activity exposes.
Meanwhile, nearly 7 months after U.S. Senator John McCain died from brain cancer, President Trump and a trio of Republican lawmakers helped instigate special counsel Robert Mueller's long-running investigation of links between Trump's 2016 election campaign and Russia and He complained again, as he has in the past, about McCain's 2017 vote that doomed Trump's attempted overhaul of national health care policies. This is VOA News. Reuters' Lucy Fielder explains that families have held symbolic burials for the Ethiopian plane crash victims, and new details about the crash are emerging.
Ethiopian Airlines says it could take up to 6 months to do DNA testing on the remains of the 157 people who perished on board Flight 302 a week ago. This friend of deceased cabin crew Getachew Negatu hopes the ceremony brings closure for the husband and baby she left behind. Meanwhile, details are emerging from the examination of the black box recorders from the crashed Boeing 737 MAX 8. A source that has listened to the air traffic control recording told Reuters it was travelling at an unusually high speed after takeoff. A voice from the cockpit made a request to increase altitude. But then the pilot, who sounded terrified, mentioned a flight control problem and started to make a right turn to return to the airport. The plane then vanished off the radar. Yep. Indonesia in October have raised fresh questions about the systems on the 737 MAX. So far, there's no evidence to suggest software was to blame for either incident.
This is Reuters' Lucy Fielder reporting. More than 150 people were killed and hundreds more missing Sunday after a cyclone swept through southeastern Africa. The United Nations estimates more than 1.5 million people in Mozambique, Malawi, and Zimbabwe were affected by the storm. Tens of thousands have been cut off from roads and telephones in mainly poor rural areas. The cyclone made landfall Thursday near the coastal city of Beira, Mozambique, with winds of up to nearly 200 kilometers per hour. The storm then moved past and west into Malawi and Zimbabwe. The UN said about 122 people had died in Mozambique and Malawi. Zimbabwean officials say that 65 deaths have been confirmed there. Israel's Supreme Court Sunday disqualified an extreme right-wing politician from next month's parliamentary election for inciting violence and racism against Arabs. The Israeli Election Commission had given permission for Michael Ben-Ari of the Jewish Power Party to run, but the court Sunday backed a legal challenge by the opposition leftist Meretz Party, which argued that Ben-Ari called for violence against Arabs, denying them civil rights and incited racism. Ben-Ari condemned the court decision, saying a judicial junta is trying to impose its laws. It's not democracy. More at VOANews.com. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.